just before bed Friday night, Bunny and I were sitting around talking, and she was looking at some things on her phone, I think maybe Facebook. She does that a lot. But it's a good way to stay in touch. And that night, I was glad she did. She said, "Let me read you something." And it was a quote that somebody had sent her. It came from Moody. And this was what it was. "You are free to disobey God. But what you are not free to do is to control the consequences." Let that sink in a minute. You are free to disobey God. But what you are not free to do is to control consequences. That instantly connected with me. I told her, I said, "That'll preach." I said, that is a powerful thought. And I couldn't get it off my mind as I went to bed, began thinking about that. And I want to talk about that a little bit, that idea. We are free. God allows us to disobey Him. We have that freedom, that right, if you will. But He does not allow us to control the consequences. And here's the thing. There are always consequences. So we want to think about that thought a little bit tonight. You know, Jesus indeed set us free from sin. He set us free from the condemnation of our sin. The Bible makes that very clear, and that's an important distinction that must be made, that Jesus Christ and what He did on Calvary's cross did set us free from the condemnation of our sin. But it did not set us free from the consequences of our sin, our disobedience to Him. So I want to think a little bit tonight. I want to challenge your thinking and get you to thinking about this idea of inescapable consequences to our choice not to obey God. And get us thinking about that in a more frequent way and a more sober way. And may it be something that is on our mind as we contemplate together this reality that, yes, God allows us to disobey Him anytime we want to. He will let us do that, but He will not let us choose what happens as a result. And there's always something that happens. So let us think about that together. Yes, Jesus sets us free from the condemnation of our individual disobediences, but not from the inevitable consequences. If you'll look at Romans chapter 7, where we'll begin tonight, that point is very clear. Paul, you know the context. Verse 24 is where we're looking. Paul is lamenting over his sin nature that constantly is demanding its way in him, and you all are familiar with your sin nature and how it works. And Paul confessed that it seems like when I would do good, that I do not, and when I would not do evil, that I do. And perhaps you've had that experience too. And it sickened Paul as it sickens me. And I hope it sickens you when you become aware of that old man, that old nature that still has his dwelling place in you. And it's something and someone we have to fight with all the time. And he asked the question, you remember, in verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" And then he has his answer. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." And then verse 8 opens with these very comforting and important words and words of distinction for our message tonight. "Therefore there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation. And I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad about that. I am very glad to know that there is no condemnation. There is no judgment of God that I will have to face for my sins. There is no danger that I will ultimately find myself thrown into the bottomless pit, there to live and dwell in agony and torment for all eternity with the devil and his angels and all of those that disobey God and have not come by faith to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'm very thankful for that. There is no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus. But Paul, and God speaking through him, did not say a word about consequences. And that's important to understand that. We are free from condemnation, but not from consequences. Romans chapter 8, Paul goes on in another thought to make that, drive that point home in verse 33 when he says, "Who shall lay any charge?" What's he talking about, a charge? Isn't that something that law enforcement will bring against you if you break the law, right? You will have a charge. You'll be charged with a crime. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about. He said, "Who shall lay any charge on God's elect? It is God that justified us. It is Christ." Or he goes on, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died." Oh, and we sing, "Therefore, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed that white as snow. And by faith in Christ, we have been granted the robe of righteousness, that is Christ's righteousness, not our own. And we wear that as a garment." It is pictured in a parable form at a wedding feast. And there was one there that was without a wedding garment. And was he allowed to stay at that wedding feast? No, he was booted out, wasn't he? Because he did not have on that wedding garment, that robe of righteousness. That has been provided to you in Christ Jesus by faith in him. And no one can take that away. Christ has died for you, and he has paid your sin debt, and there will be no double indemnity for you. But not. He has not taken away the consequences. And as that saying, whoever it can be ascribed to, it came from perhaps D.L. Moody himself, I'm not sure. Yes, you are free to disobey God anytime, and we do. But my brother, my sister, here's the sobering thought that I cannot escape and that I've been thinking about ever since Friday night when I went to bed with that thought on my mind, is that we cannot choose, we cannot control the consequences. And there are always, always, always consequences. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord's blessing upon the preaching of his word before we go any further. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful Lord's day that you have given to us. You have blessed us so today, and we thank you for the weather. We thank you for the good turnout in the Lord's house today. We thank you for the sweetness of the fellowship. We're reminded of Psalms 33, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And we thank you that's been the experience throughout the day. We thank you now for the privilege that you give us to come to the house of the Lord. And we thank you for this thought before us tonight. It is a sobering thought. And we pray, Father, that you would make us sober-minded by this thought as we dwell upon it for a little while tonight in the house of God. Speak to our hearts, dear Lord. Etch this truth indelibly upon our hearts and minds, that we would consider it often as we make choices to obey or disobey what we know to be your will, your way, and your word. Help us tonight, dear Lord, to face consequences. for better or for worse. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Consequences. Let me give you some synonyms of that word. You probably know them, but I was looking that up. Sometimes I do that. I remember Brother Pierce years ago, one of the first things he taught me in the work of preaching, he said, look at the words. Look at the words. See what the words mean. And if you look at the words, he said, you'll never be without something to say. And that's the truth. The words are like wagons, and they carry wonderful meaning, and they enable us to expand the thought that God has embedded in his word. And so it is. Words are very powerful. And this word, consequences, another word would be result. And so we might say, yes, we are free to disobey God anytime we want, but the results he does not let us affect. He chooses them. There are always results. It means an outcome, an upshot, a repercussion. Yes, we are free to disobey God, but there's going to be repercussions. There always will be repercussions. Aftermath. We often think about aftermath in context of a war or a rebellion or a storm. And you see the pictures on TV of a tornado that has come through, and they talk about the aftermath of the storm. Well, that's a good thought to hang on to as we think about, yes, this thought, yes, we are free to disobey God, but there is an aftermath. There's always an aftermath. And that's the powerful, important thought before us tonight. It is something that is produced by a cause. A cause. The idea of cause and effect reigns supreme in all the universe. Cause and effect. Cause and effect. And that's why this truth is before us. It is true in the spiritual realm as well. Yes, you are free to disobey God, but you cannot control the consequences. You know about domino theory, right, or domino effect. All of you know that, and perhaps all of you have tried that, where you'll stack up a row of dominoes. There might be, I don't know how many in a box of dominoes. Anybody ever count them? It might be 30 or 40 dominoes, but you can get artsy with it and make all kinds of fancy patterns and take a lot of time stacking carefully those little fellas up, and then all you have to do is touch one, right? And that one touches in the next one, and that one touches the next one, and that one touches the next one, and that one touches the next one. That's cause and effect that you're watching as you delight as a child. You know, oh, look at that. Isn't that amazing? Then we stack them up again. But what we're looking at is a law of nature called cause and effect, and that's what Moody had in mind, that exactly that. Yes, we are free to push that domino. And what a little thing that is. What a small thing. It just takes a little touch. A little touch and knock every single one down. Cause and effect. Consequences. Sometimes to one little thing. One little thing. A consequence is something that is produced by a cause. And necessarily follows. It must follow. Once that domino is touched, there's no going back. And so often that's the case. Once that word is spoken, there's no calling it back. Spent arrows, yes. And oh, how much damage. Doesn't James say to us what a little thing a word is? But how it has been known to set on fire the whole course of nature. One word. Well, it reminds me of a fire my neighbor, unwittingly, I hope, built on our property line a few years ago. Back in the back of our property, right on the edge of our property, had a fire ring, and he had a fire going there. And He built his fire ring out of pine stumps. I don't think he was ever a Boy Scout. And he put the fire out, so he thought, and went to bed. But it was a breezy night, and a spark or two got wafted over to my woods, which is covered, carpeted in pine needles, which if you've never messed with pine needles, they're about as flammable as gasoline. Buddy and I came home fairly late that night, and we drove on to 30th Avenue, and there were fire trucks lined up all the way down my neighbor's driveway. He's got a really long driveway, about 200 feet long, fire trucks all up and down the street. I said, wow, somebody's house must be on fire. And then we realized it was our woods that was on fire. I mean, a major. It burned up, ended up burning up about an acre back there. And they put it out. I'm thankful the fire department, Chris, I tell you, they did a great job. They put it out, but they didn't get it all out. And the next night we came home again, and the woods was on fire again. It had rekindled, and all of that by one bad decision, not to make sure that that fire was thoroughly, thoroughly out. James said, that's the way a word can be. Just that devastating, one word, the wrong word, at the wrong time, taken the wrong way, set on fire the whole course of nature. Yes, we are free. Let your words, the Bible says, be always seasoned with grace. That's like Smokey the Bear, you know. Don't throw your cigarette butts out. You know, all it takes is one cigarette to start a forest fire. And all it takes is one word ungraciously spoken in the right context with pine needles on the floor. And you've got a forest fire that you'll never put out before it creates a whole lot of damage. Yes, we are free to disobey God. But we're not free to control the circumstances, the consequences. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, it tells us, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a person sows, that, and I've heard it expounded by Brother Pierce years ago, that and that only will you reap. You know that when you put a corn seed in the ground, it doesn't come up a turnip. That and only that is what you're going to reap, whatever you sowed. And that's a principle, again, just like the one before us of cause and effect, from farming, but it has spiritual application. God is not mocked. You're not going to make a fool out of God. You are not going to change His laws. And His laws state, yes, you are free. You are free to plant whatever you want. But know this, that whatever you plant, you're going to reap. That's a scary thought. That's a scary thought. You can apply that to unforgiveness, unkindness, stinginess. You can apply it to a lot of things. And it fits. Because God says, whatever you sow, that you are going to reap. That's cause and effect. And that's the consequences that are before us tonight. And this is what we're talking about. You can see in the thoughts that are before me that I've been thinking about this since Friday night when Bunny said, let me, and you know, isn't that an example of the very thing we're talking about? I don't even know who sent that to her. But, you know, she could have just read it and went on to the next thing. But she didn't. She shared it with me. And that got my brain going. And now I'm sharing it with you. And I don't know how God might use that to change the course of your life or mine. And that's how it works in positive ways, because there is a positive aspect to this. And I'm thankful there is. There is a big positive aspect to this. That yes, if we choose to obey God, that also has consequences. And we're going to think about that some more. And so how good for us to think about that some more. You know, the consequences of disobeying God are always bad. Is that true? Brother Pierce said yes. He has a lot more wisdom and experience than I do. I think it's true, too. I don't think it's too much. I thought about it as I put that in my notes. I thought, now let me think about that a minute. The consequences of disobeying God are always bad. And it's true. James thought so. Listen to what God said through James, the brother of our Lord. Every man, let me change that. Let's talk about mankind. I don't want to exempt any women tonight. Everybody, every person, anyone, everyone is tempted when they are drawn away of their own desire and enticed. Then, when their desire has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth what? Death. Now, let's notice some things about that. The sentence ends with death, or the thought ends with death. I'm not going to take time to look at the punctuation right now. But the thought ends with death. Sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. And there's no caveats in there. There's no extenuating circumstances in there. God simply says, this is the way it works, folks. Every time you decide, based upon your desire to do this or that, against God's will, against God's word, against God's command, when that conception takes place, sin is the result, and it always brings forth death. Some way, shape, or form. Something dies. Something dies. So that's one thought about that. Notice another thing with me. He says, every person is tempted when they are drawn away. Drawn away from what? He doesn't say. Enticed. Enticed to do what? He doesn't say. When a person has a desire for something, for what? He doesn't say. How come he doesn't say? Because there are a million applications to this. Anytime we make the choice not to obey God's word, it fits. And we always choose to do that when we are enticed by our own desire to do something different. And if we let that reach conception, you know what that means. When those two things come together, it's over. It brings forth sin. That's the baby. That's the product. When that happens, death. Always the result. Always the result. That's serious business. That's sobering business. You know, James is purposely vague about it. Even when he said that it brings forth death. Tell us what dies, James. Tell us what dies. We're dying to know what dies, James. But again, he's purposely vague, isn't he? Because there are a lot of possibilities. And it would take a lot of Bible pages to enumerate. Like somebody was telling me the other day about a man that wrote a book a long time ago about raising goats. And they were saying that it takes, I think, 5 months is the gestation period. So they wrote that, for example, if the goat conceived on January 15th, it would give birth on May 15th. And then they proceeded to take every day of the calendar page and run that out. If it was the 16th, it'd be the 16th of May. If it was the 17th, it'd be the 17th of May. If it was the 18th, it'd be the 18th of May. Well, there's 365 possibilities there. And so, you know, James didn't do that. He simply said, it brings forth death. It brings forth death. Know this, that whatever the case might be, it brings forth death. It brings forth death. If we choose, yes, we are free. We are free to disobey God, and we do it. That's the scary thing. We do it every day in some way, shape, or form. It might be as small as a word that we shouldn't have said, or a word that we didn't say that we should have. That's another thought, isn't it? What dies, James? What dies? It might be an opportunity that can never be recaptured. An opportunity that never could be recaptured again. An opportunity that might have opened a door that would have forever changed your life. But in choosing to disobey God, you lost the only opportunity that He'll ever give you for that path to open up. I was thinking about that. An application, a real-life application of that. You know why Barbara Ann Jeese is here tonight? Some of you know the story. She had been invited to this church a bunch of times. A bunch of times. And she had good intentions. She was going to come, but she never did. She never did. She never did. But one day, this man said something to her that made a difference. And I don't remember exactly what it was. Mark, tell me what it was. Maybe you remember. I know Barbara remembers. Barbara told me a few months ago what it was, and it was a tremendous story. But basically, Mark said, if you don't make a commitment, you'll never do it. If you don't make a commitment, you'll never do it. And bingo, that one word made the difference in her decision-making processes. And she came to this church, and she's been here ever since. Now, suppose that word had never been spoken, folks. Suppose Mark had kept his mouth shut. Suppose he'd said, I'd invited her a dozen times, and she's never come. I'm not asking anymore. And we've done that, haven't we? Yes, we have. We've given up on people. We've said it's no use. But he asked in a different way, and he asked one more time, cause and effect. If that statement hadn't been made, Barbara wouldn't be here. Erica wouldn't be here. John wouldn't be here. Holly wouldn't be here. Whoa. Cause and effect. Cause and effect. That's sobering, isn't it, to think about that? Now, I wonder how many times that we have not said something that really needed to be said, and we knew it. But what we didn't want to, you know, whatever the reason. But we knew we should say something, and we didn't. Maybe that opportunity that could have changed, just like that one statement, changed the whole course of nature. Changed Barbara's life forever. Changed Erica's life forever. Gonna change John's life forever, for better or for worse, as the preacher will say. One sentence. It's sobering, folks. Oh, how we ought to consider this truth that is before us tonight, that has really gotten a hold of me. That yes, we can choose. God will allow you to choose to disobey Him anytime you want to, but He will not allow you to control the circumstances that ensue, the consequences that must follow. Oh, I don't know what dies. Sometimes we may never know what has died. But we know this, that James said as soon as that happens, something will die. When we make the choice and we execute not to obey, not to do what we know God would have us do, not to do what God's Word teaches, not to offer that forgiveness, not to offer that help, not to offer that kindness, not to give for that need, whatever the case might be, and you know what it is, I know what it is, something dies. What it is, I don't know, but When we think about things like I just shared with you, that's a real sobering thought. A real sobering thought. I'll tell you, something occurred to me, and I don't think I'm going to share a lot of the details. A long time ago, some things happened when one person chose to disobey God, and then that set in motion several other responses. And it just seemed like everyone wanted to respond not according to God's word in the whole circumstance. It set up a chain reaction of cause and effect that disrupted a lot of things. A lot of things died during that time. I don't even know what all died during that time, but a lot of things did. And the other day, some efforts were made to reconstruct a bridge that had been burnt. And the upshot, to use one of our words, the consequence of that choice, or those choices, was one of the most pleasant days that I have spent in a long, long while. It was a day when the love of Jesus Christ was abundant and just everything was good, very good. And I couldn't help but reflect on these things. And what the psalmist said in Psalm 65, all thy ways drop fatness. And we were experiencing some of that fatness. All of God's ways drop fatness. Those of you that are carnivores know that that's where the flavor is. I thought, my, the devastation that the choices, plural, not to do the right thing, not to do what God instructs us to do. How much has been lost? How much has died? How much has not been experienced like that experience that could have been experienced along and along and along and along and along uninterruptedly, not just by one, but by many. But it's gone. It was gone forever. It can never be changed. It can never be brought back. It is a consequence. Yes, God allowed many people to make many choices that were against his word and against his will, but guess what? Not a single one had the opportunity to change the consequences. And not one thing died, but many things died, brothers and sisters. Many things died. Oh, the losses that we sustain by our little disobediences. There are no such thing as little disobedience. Remember the word that James talked about. Such a little thing. Such a little spark that can set the whole course of nature on fire. That's not a little thing. But all of his paths drop fatness. That's a promise. That when, if we will simply choose to obey, in spite of our desire that gets in the way, if we would just choose to obey. You know, the context Context. Let me turn there to James chapter 4. Consider the context. It's a different thought. I don't know what I've done in my notes here. I knew that train of thought wasn't right. I thought, what is going on with this? That's funny. Well, look at this. In verse 17 was the thought that I must have omitted from my notes, and I knew it that there was something there, that a thought that just didn't follow. But look at verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. This idea that is before us tonight, as we think about the cause and effect, we often think about actions that we do. But here, James tells us that when we fail to do something that we know we should do, that also is sin. And if it is sin, then what happens? It also brings forth death. And so this is a two-edged sword. And what the context that I wanted to look at with that thought is above. Isn't it interesting to look at the context in verse 13? Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and we'll continue there a year and we'll buy and we'll sell and we'll get gain. Whereas you don't know what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? It is a vanishing vapor. It appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Therefore, in other words, the things that he has just said are the basis of what he's saying in that 17th verse. Had you ever made that connection before? I really never put that in context. What is he saying? He's saying that the reason we often choose not to do what God's will is for us is because we've got our own plans. You see? Wow, that makes that a lot more powerful, doesn't it? I never put that together before. Looking at that this evening, I said, wow, therefore. It says therefore. In other words, this is a conclusion. This is an application of what he had just said. And it's true, isn't it, that it's often our plans, what we want to do, what we're proposing to do, that makes us, encourages us to say, nah, to what God would have us do in a particular circumstance. We've made our own plans, you see. God has a will for us in that circumstance, but we're too busy prosecuting our own plans. And then James said, therefore, understand this. To him that knows that he should do this, but he's too busy, to him it is sin. And the same rule applies that James gives us earlier in the epistle. That when that happens, when sin conceives, it brings forth death. Something dies. Something goes missing. Something doesn't happen that could have happened. Something good that could have happened. Something good that might have been long-lasting, like Barbara being here right now. Well, suppose Mark had been too busy. He looked at his watch and he said, oh, man, I've got a tennis game. I'm supposed to meet Jim over at the tennis court. In 15 minutes, I'm going to be late. And he bolted out the door and he never said what needed to be said. Barbara wouldn't be here tonight. Erica wouldn't be here tonight. John wouldn't be here tonight. Holly would not be a member of this church. You see the idea? And that's the way it works, folks. An amazing thing. A scary thing. A staggering thing. But what is the import for us? Let us be careful. Let us be sober-minded about letting anything and everything, whatever it is, get in the way of doing what God's will is. Because he will allow you to disobey him. He does it every day, doesn't he? But he does not allow us to alter consequences. And there are always consequences. Sometimes the consequences are bigger and more far-reaching than our choice not to obey. That's why Hosea writes in chapter 8 and verse 7, they have sown to the wind, but they're reaping the whirlwind. Now, wind is one thing. Wind is nice. It cools us off on a hot day. It makes a sailboat go fast. It makes your fire burn better. It does a lot of nice things. It feels good. It brings scents from around other places into your nostrils. Wind, it moves the clouds across the sky to move the rain to where it needs to be. But a whirlwind, a tornado, now that's a different story. And that's what Hosea the prophet is reminding us, this law of consequences, this law of cause and effect, is that, yes, we can choose to disobey God in a little thing like the wind, a little breeze, but we might reap a whirlwind, a tornado, because the consequences are often much bigger. And they go on for much longer than the choice that we made. Think about the original disobedience in Eden with me. Was that murder? Did Eve commit murder? And don't be philosophical, just it wasn't murder, was it? It wasn't rape, it wasn't theft. Just a choice. God said, don't eat this. You can eat any other fruit you want. This one fruit, don't touch it. You know, most people today would laugh at that idea. That, you mean that's a sin? Come on. What a little thing that I might just pick one piece of fruit and eat it. It looked good. Think about that with me. It wasn't rape. It wasn't murder. It wasn't drug addiction. It wasn't theft. It wasn't any of those sexual sins that we get really upset about, and well, we should. It wasn't the things that we commonly think of that as serious sins. In Catholicism, they have this crazy idea about, what do they call it, John? Venial sins. And anyway, they separate them into big and little. Well, let's go back to Genesis. To me, humanly speaking, that had to be categorized as a little sin. Just a piece of fruit. Yeah. And they're still going on, aren't they? 6,000 years or something like that. 6,000 years ago, that sin was committed, Justin. That one thing, that one choice to disobey God. And he allowed them to do it, just like he allows you to do it. But he did not allow them to change the consequences, did he? And now every single human being born into this world is born in sin, is born a sinner, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Where did it start? Romans tells us it started with Adam and Eve, and it's ascribed to Adam, the man, the authority in that family. By one man's sin, sin entered the world, and death by sin, and now death has reigned unto all humankind. And even the animals are groaning and travailing together. This is a ripple effect. This is cause and effect. One man's disobedience. Think about that with me. One choice to disobey God, and God allowed it, has affected every human being on the planet. Does it work that way? It works that way. It works that way. It is frightening, Brother Pierce. That's why I say that statement got a hold of me in such a big way. I said, wow, I can't, you know, it's just one of those, you've heard those kinds of things. You are free to disobey God, but you are not free to control. There are always consequences. The ripple effect, as Brother Pierce said, consequences still being felt today. Yeah. Consequence, yes, that's right. Sequence that goes along with the action. Yep. Con means with, sequence. So a sequence that goes with that one action. And the sequence is, the dominoes are still falling. It reminded me of a poem I heard Brother Pierce quote years and years and years ago. I looked it up on the internet. Maybe you have heard it. It goes like this: for want of a nail, the horseshoe was lost. For want of a horse, or for want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For want of a horse, the rider was lost. For want of a rider, the message was lost. For want of a message, the battle was lost. For want of a battle, the kingdom was lost. And all for the want of a horseshoe nail. That's it. One little thing. Shoe fell off. The horse died, the rider was killed, the message was lost, the battle therefore was not won, and the whole kingdom went down. One little thing. Consequences. Consequences. But again, there's a powerful flip side, and this is the positive thought. We think about Romans chapter 5, where we were just a moment ago. One man's sin. One man's sin. Sin entered the world, death by sin, and everybody's been affected by it. But in that context, we're reminded of the positive side of it. It was also by one man's obedience. One man's obedience, wasn't it? This is what it says in Romans 5:18. Even so, by the righteousness of one man, the free gift came to all mankind unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Oh, there is an alternative, my brother and my sister. There is an alternative. There's always consequences, but we have the alternative available to us. And I am so glad that that's true. We can choose to obey in the little things as well as the large things. We can choose to lay aside our plans and our desires and do what God would have us do in the little things as well as the big things, in the words as well as in the deeds. Mindful that there's always consequences, but all of His paths drop fatness. All of His consequences are good, very good. It is when we choose not to obey that the consequences always bring forth death. And lots of it. And it goes on and on and on. And sometimes, most times, it's unretrievable, unredeemable. You can never, you've heard the saying, you can never go back. And you can't. You might be able to patch it up a little bit. You might be able to kind of fix it up, shore it up, but you can never, never. Brings forth death. James knew what he was talking about. It was God speaking to him, through him, to us. Let us get this message. Are there any exceptions? There does not appear to be any exceptions. It's a well-known law of physics, Newton's third law. You learned it in junior high school. Many of you may remember it. For every action, there's a reaction. Yeah, equal, opposite, law of physics. The important thing for us tonight, for every action, there's a reaction. And so it is when we choose to obey or not to obey. There is always, it's a law. Like Newton's third law, there's always a reaction. You know, I think about a phone call to my father that forever changed the course of my life. I had met Bunny. I think about another phone call. On the phone to a friend of mine, he had called me. He had a business down here. I've told you this story before, so I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but it was a phone call. He said, why don't you come down here and help me out for a few months? I need some help. So I did. I could have made a choice not to come. Where would I be now? Probably dead or in jail. No telling where I would have been except for that one phone call, that one invitation. Changed the whole course of my life in every conceivable way. And that is the way it works. The way it works. Again and again and again. And I guess the takeaway tonight is simply this, for us to be aware of the power of that choice in things large and things small. Maybe you remember me telling the story about Andy, my friend Andy. Comes to church pretty regularly now, and I believe the Lord, if he hasn't already saved him, he is going to save him. You remember Andy's wife, those of you who remember Carol. She was very sickly. She had a bizarre disease, a rare disease. And she was a very spiritual woman and a believer. And she had tried for, they were married nearly 50 years. And she had tried for 50 years to get Andy to come to church with her. He wouldn't do it. And one day, when I was with Andy, one day, the thought occurred to me. I said, Andy, you know, I know Carol can't get out, and you told me that she's a Christian, she's a believer. I said, you know, I'd be happy to come to your house and pray with Carol, you know, read the Bible to her or with her, you know, if she would like me to. I mean, I would love to do it. I'd be happy to do it. And he said, well, yeah, I thank you for that. I appreciate that very much. Next time I saw Andy, he said, Carol and I are coming to church. One statement. She had tried to get her husband in church. Well, you remember the story when I met her in the parking lot? She came running up to me and she hugged me with a bear hug and said, hello, brother. I tell you, she was so excited. She wept through the whole service. She was beside herself that her husband was sitting under the sound of the gospel. Finally, after nearly 50 years of asking him, and he would never do it. And it was one statement, one offer. I had no idea. That was a woman that changed my life. I was only in her presence twice. But I preached her funeral like I had known her all my life. Her effect on me was that powerful. And she said something to me that I'll never, ever forget for all eternity. And I've shared that with you. I'm not going to share that either. But the important thing is this. It was just one statement. An offer to do something for somebody. God used, and it would have been so easy not to say it. And we make that choice all the time, not to say it, for whatever reason. Think about that. My life was changed forever, and maybe Andy's will be changed forever because of that one thing. One thing. One thing. And it could have easily not been said. That's a lot for us to think about, brothers and sisters, but I'll tell you, it's worth thinking about. Every time you decide, nah, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to say it, I'm not going to go, I'd rather do something else. I know. Yeah, this is the Lord's day, but we make these choices all the time. We make them all the time, and here's the thing. Yes, God allows us. We are always free. He gives us that liberty. We are free to disobey, to not do what we know we should, or to do what we know we shouldn't. We are free, but we are not free to control the consequences for better or for worse. Amazing to think that we could change the whole course of nature in a positive way. A wonderfully positive way. Change the lives forever of people. Simply by being willing to obey in one little thing, like a word, an invitation. My, the possibilities are endless, and they'll boggle your mind. my purpose tonight was simply to share with you some of these thoughts that were stimulated and how in keeping the thought of the message by Bunny simply mentioning. She could have easily just gone on to the next thought, and I'd have never heard it. I'd have never been thinking about it. This message would never be preached, and who knows what else may come from this in your life, in my life, I hope in all of our lives, as we think about this maxim that comes to us from a very godly man, perhaps Dwight L. Moody. Yes, we are free to choose not to obey God, but we are not free to control the inevitable consequences, for better or for worse.